Happy Lord's Day. And again, let's do a count. How many more days?
One day
closer. Yes, one day closer. And if you haven't done so, please silence your cell phones at this moment. You can go ahead and set them on stun if you prefer. You probably recognize some of these. It's not a trick question. Hopefully you recognize some of these, right? Right, Carla? So, where will we be without signs? Signs help us with direction of travel, for guidance, for protection. Which signs are most important to you? It depends on where you are going, right? What's good about a sign if you don't heed what is indicated? Say, for example, you saw the sign that said, bridge is out, and you don't heed that. What about a stop sign? Yeah, I see people nodding. I know there may be people here from California, but you may have heard the California stop. Yeah, I see some nodding. You know, a stop sign is not a suggestion. It says, stop. And Carla will also confirm that that's a very important sign, so will police authority and everybody else. Signs are important. We realize that. Speed limits, again, it's also another sign. And again, it is not a suggestion. It is the limit. No parking signs. We've seen those. How about those people you see that are parking in a fire lane? Mm-hmm. Not a good thing. There's a sign there for a reason, and it's to be heeded. Same for our brothers and sisters who are physically handicapped. They need those parking spots. The sign is there for a reason. And again, it's so unkind of anyone to just pull in who is physically capable to move about and just park their car there, taking up the valuable space for someone who actually needs it, because they're saying, I'm just going to be in there just a few minutes, a few seconds. Again, be considered. The sign is there for a reason. As we were discussing in class and in some of our songs today, the Israelites were given many signs. Here we find in Exodus 12. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign to you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Seems simple enough, doesn't it? What would have happened if they did not put the blood on their houses for a sign? What if they thought, oh, he will overlook my indiscretion? He wouldn't possibly hurt me if I don't obey him. Why is it so hard for people to understand that God gives us instruction and guidance because he does love us? Seems simple enough. Follow the signs. Obey his word. All the time, every time. His signs are not suggestions. Signs can be used as reminders for our own good as well. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man. Command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan and from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? You shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. The Israelites had set up stones as a sign for them and their children to remind the future generations of what God has done for the past generations. How about that? And we are indeed fortunate that we have the Bible, the living word, the good book. Note, the stones were set up as a reminder, not set up to be worshipped. Let us learn from that. Difference between God's goodness, and we are to remember, not the things that he has blessed you with, so that those things can be worshipped. There's a difference. Stacked stones are still used today for various signs because they have various meanings. The indigenous people of what is now known as Canada did this for their own tribes and others back long ago. The stacked stones will be a sign for and would indicate where water was, where a food cache was, or even where shelter was. Depending on how they stacked the stones, it was a sign. We know that signs are important and may be reassuring as well. Kind of when you're traveling for a while and you haven't seen a sign for a long while. There's some places in the U.S. that's like that. The interstates are like beyond the horizon. Beyond the physical horizon. And there is no signs nowhere. But you're traveling. And you're traveling. Then the silence is broken by a question that has been asked numerous times. Are we on the right road? You're looking for a sign to confirm that you are on the right road. And when you find that, isn't that reassuring? And also you're looking for that infamous speed limit sign to make sure you're obeying the law. Now, of course, if you've ever been in Europe, and those of us who are familiar with the Autobahn, which is the European version of interstate in Germany. I don't know sure if the Autobahn is throughout Europe. But anyway, in Germany, the Autobahn, left lane, for you guys, believe it or not, unlimited speed, unless otherwise indicated. Think about that for a moment. unlimited speed. Been there, done that. God has been creating signs for a long, long time. Where is this, you may ask? Wait for it. Wait for it. Petersburg. Do you recognize it? Recognize the city? But obviously you recognize the sign. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And hopefully when we do see that, when we are privileged to see that, we come to at least a few basic understandings right away. In this statement right here, whose sign does it belong to? God. And when you look at that, hopefully that reminds all of us who put that there? God. And he's putting it that there is a sign to remind us of his goodness. The covenant between me and the earth. Oh, that's us. Okay? That's us. That is his covenant between us. And we should be grateful and thankful. I'm sure a lot of us have seen rainbows before. Hopefully we don't just look at it as, oh, that's a beautiful thing. Remember who made that. Who took the time to do that. So the other disciple told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A lot of us probably realize who this person is making this statement. Unfortunately, there are many who still to this day do not believe that Christ arose and that he and he alone is the Savior of the world. He and he alone is worthy of our praise and thankfulness for what he has done for each of us and for all mankind. Let us turn to Luke 24, verses 13 through 53. Luke 24, 13 through 53. Luke 24, 13 through 53. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village in which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and he has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. While they were still talking about Jesus, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Put yourself in that situation for a moment, if you will. You're all together, knowing what you know about what has happened in the past. And you're of the knowledge at that point that he's no longer with us. But now he's in the room. He's in the room. How many of us would just fall out? First of all, trying to comprehend what you see, and then even at that moment, just pass out. Because obviously you're trying to process this, and what you're seeing is a miracle. What you're seeing is truth. What you're seeing is what was already told. You see it in action. Here's your sign, if you will. Here's your sign. They were continuing on in 37. And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms." When he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, he told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. They were privileged to see a lot of signs, events, facts played out as discussed in the future. And when they see him there, face to face, I guess the modern day vernacular is, they're just blown away. They could not believe what they saw. Would that be the same for us? Do we do that? There's another sign. It's in the scripture. Matthew 7, 13, 14, where Jesus himself says, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. Remember that sign I said earlier? The bridge is out. He's giving us a warning here. He is saying it himself. So there'll be no misunderstanding. Broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Fact, stating the truth, who would know best? Christ himself. Believe it or not, no one knows better than he does. Whatever your conceptions or preconceptions are, no one knows you better than Christ himself. No one. And so he says, there are few who find it. So believe that to be true. Signs comes in many forms. We know that. Scripture, for example. Hopefully we have believed that Christ is the Savior. No matter what it takes for us to genuinely believe that Christ is our Savior, and for that fact, we have purpose for our lives, and that is to live for Him. Once we understand that Christ is our Savior, none other. But if we are still of the persuasion that you need a physical sign, look around you. Just look around you. Rainbows. Look at God's creation. Look at each other. Look at the scriptures. Let's turn to John, verses 24 through 31. John 20, verses 24 through 31. 24 through 31. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Now, I don't mean this to sound like a rhetorical question, but are you ready to see the Lord? Do you want to see the Lord? Is that your desire? If you knew the time and place, would you make sure you weren't late? If you knew the time and place. Or, as we know, he's going to come unannounced. And that's okay. Because he is the Lord. He can come whenever he wants. The point being, are you ready? Will you believe what you see when he shows up? Hopefully the answer is a resounding yes. But you do look forward to that. That his arms are wide open. And you're going to run to him with your arms wide open. And you're going to embrace and love. Words can't describe that reunion. It's going to be the greatest reunion ever. Ever. Because you know it's going to be pure. It's going to be honest, sincere, loving. All the things we'd hope to have once we meet our Savior. But let's continue on. The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in the hands and put my finger where his nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." There's unfortunately too many who are still the same persuasion that walk this earth today. They need to see it. They need to touch it. They need something to try to convince them that the Lord is real. The signs have been given. Again, when we look at the rainbows, we look at what he's created. We look at each other. We look at your life. Look at our loved ones. Look at the signs are there. But a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Again, imagine how many people would have fallen out knowing that the doors were locked. And there he is, and you hear that voice. You know, you'd recognize that voice. It's like when mom comes home and knows that you're upstairs doing something you shouldn't be doing, and she says, "Tommy," you recognize that voice, no matter how low it may be. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Can you say that? Will you say that? Do you believe that? What proof, what more signs do you need? Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We don't need to physically see him to believe him, because the signs are there. The words of Christ has been spoken, and they are a sign for us. We need to heed the signs. As the saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words. We have been there a time or two in our lives when we got lost and maybe doubted that we were on the right road, the right way. And we may be desperately looking for a sign to confirm or to reassure us that we are in fact going the right way. When we turn and come to the end of the intersection, and then you see this. Spiritually speaking, Christ is the only way. John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So we are blessed. Blessed in a lot of ways. But if you're not a child of Christ, he has made it simple. He made the process simple for you to join him. Hear the gospel. Believe the gospel, repent of your past sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, as our Savior, be buried with him, with Christ in baptism, and then come up a new child and continue steadfast in the doctrine and the teachings that are in Scriptures. Again, the lesson is yours. If anyone has any needs or desires, please make them known to us while we all stand together and sing the song of encouragement.